Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. And I wanted to remind you that at ExitCoachRadio.com, you can go to our audio library. The link is right there up top. Click on that and listen to hundreds and hundreds of advisor interviews on your smartphone. And they're categorized by different topics. We have 12 different topics. We have different specialty groups that we've worked a lot with, like ProVisors and which is a group of advisors in California, and also Vistage International, which is a national business owner group or business owner collaboration group, I should say. Great speakers on that. So go to the Exit Coach Radio website and click on the audio library and learn while you run or while you work out or while you drive around. My guest today is Pat Pieson of the Harvest Financial Group, and Pat's a 25-year veteran of the financial services industry, working a lot with retirees and pre-retirees. And in today's tough market economy, seniors especially need to fully understand all the various types of options that are currently available to assist them in protecting and growing their investment portfolio. And Pat helps them figure that out. So Pat, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here, Bill. Good to speak with you again.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah, it's good to have you back. Tell us a little bit about you. You're from the East Coast in the Virginia area, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. We live in the Shenandoah Valley, a beautiful place of the world here in the heart of Virginia. It's 76 degrees, and the leaves are peaking here, and it's a beautiful day indeed.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a gorgeous area. And there's a big retiree population in that area, isn't there?
Yes, there is, and that's what our practice is based on. Because where I live here in the valley, it's a rather small population, and a lot of people move in from Northern Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area and up north from New Jersey and New York because the property is much cheaper here and the taxes are very, very low. Not a lot of work around here by me, but there's a lot of retirees that come here to retire and have good money and want to protect their assets and, you know, have income plan here where they have a beautiful place to live, and at the same time, the expenses are much lower.
Well, that's great, and that sets you up to be in a good position because I'm sure a lot of people want to work with somebody locally, and they look to experts in the area. Now, Pat, you've been in the area for quite a while, but I know you've been in the business for over 25 years. How long have you been in that particular geographical area?
I've been here since April of 2004, so 11 and a half, almost 12 years, I guess.
And where did you move from?
Yeah, it's the right place at the right time for my practice, no doubt about it. Not only financially because of the needs around here, but it's just a beautiful place to live, the best place I've ever lived in, for sure.
Oh, it is a beautiful area. I'm somewhat familiar with it. My mom lives in West Virginia in Shepherdstown area, so I'm somewhat familiar with it. Now, what area did you move from?
I was in Fredericksburg for 2 years doing some government pension planning, and before that, the first 40 years of my life, I lived in New Jersey, so I'm familiar with the Wall Street which I worked on, and that whole area here. So that's where I spent the majority of my life, and coming to a quieter area here. And by the way, I want to say Shepherdstown. We do make road trips to Shepherdstown. That is a beautiful town and a beautiful college there. It's got a great vibe. Okay.
It's like a page book out of Civil War history in that area, isn't it?
Yeah, Shepherdstown and Harper's Ferry. It's a great area to visit.
So, you know, one of the things that I had that you wanted to talk about was that a lot of people are, and I'm in this position, I'm 56. I have a 14-year-old, I have a 26-year-old. So I got one through college, but I have one who's, I'm wondering about his college. It's coming up, he's in school. And I'm also thinking about my retirement. And so one of the things that I had that you wanted to talk about was the fact that funding college and retirement need not and should not be separate or conflicting issues. So why don't you tee that up for us? Tell us a little bit more about that topic.
Yeah, well, you have one down and one to go. Good for you.
Yeah, and I spaced them out so they didn't all, hit me. They didn't gang up on me.
Well, the good and the bad news is, of course, that as a population, we're living a lot longer. So retirement can either start later or last longer or a combination of the two. But, you know, college savings, I'm sure you've started along those lines. And it's just a matter of carving out a certain percentage of your income, which you build that savings muscle up, hopefully early in your working years. And then when you have children, you can't start too soon to start saving for college. And slicing out a piece of the pie for their college and maybe reducing your retirement a little bit, but we all need to contribute to our 401ks, 403bs, and retirement plans to take advantage of the tax savings there. And, of course, with 529 plans for college, there are great tax advantages as well. So we try to help people even it out a little bit and realize that both of these are prerequisites to a successful financial plan and to have it invested in places and ways that are suitable, you know, for their objectives.
That's a good point, and it is one of those things. College is easy to start and plan because you have a beginning date when your child is born, and you know that 18 years from then, or relatively that, you know, right around that time period, there's going to be a potential expense, and it can be projected out. Retirement, and it's going to last, you know, generally a parent will say, look, I'll pick up the first 4 years or part of the first 4 years or whatever their goal is. And if after that point, you can get loans or you can continue your education on your own, or maybe I'll be in a position to help you, but this is what I'm going to plan for. It's easy, right? Relatively easy. Then you get to retirement where it's like, if I knew I was going to die at 75 years old, and I just had to plan from age 65 to 75. That's a 10-year stretch. It'd be real easy. But these days, we're hearing a lot more about people living into their 90s and 100s, and it becomes a little bit scary for people because we don't know what that means as far as the type of nest egg you have to provide that income, and compound that, right, with the fact that there's not much you can get in the way of yield these days because, let's face it, interest rates are darn near zero in the federal world, and not much better than that in the banking world or some of the other places we'd usually go for yield. So what do we do?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Bill, because the biggest fear today is running out of money before you run out of life with retirees because of the lifespans and whatnot. And what I find, what we're able to do, the mistakes a lot of people make with retirement is that they haven't shifted strategies. They haven't shifted their investment strategies from growth to income when you're near or at retirement. And sometimes we're in 401ks and our retirement plans that work for as much as 30, 35, 40 years, and we want to be in growth investments. We want to be in the market because over those long periods of time, the market always comes back and always outperforms everything else. So we try to emphasize to start building that up early in life and pay yourself first to fund your college and retirement by maxing out your 401k and just sit and let it alone and relax until about 5 to 7 years toward retirement. Then we need to start shifting the plan a little bit because now with a 5 or 7 year window, we don't have the time frames to take a potential major drop in the market that may decrease our capital 20, 30, 40%. And to start to shift into capital preservation and then into income-generating stages in retirement, which will give them a guaranteed income for the rest of their life. And there are investment strategies, Bill, that aren't so much in the stock market that are geared for interest and dividends that can, when you're properly planned, can relatively guarantee a certain income for the rest of your life. Hopefully we'll cover what you need. So that's the biggest mistakes. Now, you make a good point about yield today. And what I find is a lot of people come into my office when they're thinking about putting together a retirement plan. And they think the whole world consists of the stock market. And if they're not in the stock market, they're in a bank CD or a 1.5% government bond. But I want to let you and your listeners know there is a middle ground between those two sides of the spectrum. And there are a bunch of income-generating strategies that can get you 4, 5, 6% with steady yield and dividends with a little bit of risk, but much, much safer than having it, you know, in the stock market that can really give you peace of mind and financial freedom that you will have enough money to last the rest of your life. So you have to have a nice balance when you think about retirement and make sure that you're in investments that are geared for retirement primarily.
Yeah, and there's been a big shift. The financial services companies that are big in this, and I'm talking about a lot of them are insurance companies like Prudential and MetLife, and a lot of the big companies are touting this, that your retirement's going to last a long time. We can help you with a back-end strategy that you'll never run out of money. Even if your account's empty, you'll still get a check in the mailbox. And those are different versions of annuities, which for a long time, the financial services review world, the periodicals and whatnot, were down on these things. And now they're coming back and saying, these may be some of the best things out there because they're going to at least put a guarantee that you'll never not have a check in the mailbox. What do you think about those strategies?
Yeah, they're part of the strategies, in fact, and they have made a comeback because now there are guaranteed income plans that you can put in place in the products that you mentioned. And it's interesting because in any investment strategy, we have to consider basically three options, and we have to prioritize what they are. Is it most important with our money to generate income? Is it most important to leave it to our heirs? Or is it most important for a lump sum, you know, to buy a house or something? So once you know that and you can prioritize like that, yeah, those types of vehicles are guaranteed and safe. And there are a bunch of still, you know, in the moderate world, like corporate bonds and preferreds and private REITs and senior secured notes, just to name a few, and some alternative investments, which will get you guaranteed yield as well with a little more risk, but certainly the emphasis is income for life, much like some of the insurance companies have made a little bit of a comeback because they've come up with products now that are geared for the baby boomer population to make sure you don't run out of money with this particular pool of money as well. So a combination of those, you know, makes a lot of sense. And you can create a strategy that really works.
Well, I think they're playing into the fact that we, a lot of people out there don't have, of course, the old pension plan, the old defined benefit plan that would pay you a check the rest of your life. And then a lot of people know that maybe their parents had that, and a lot of people used to have those when the bigger companies, and then as the government regulations got more strict, a lot of smaller companies phased out or never offered those. So they're looking for that replacement, and all they see is a 401k balance, which they know can be uncertain at times, given, you know, 2002, 2008, other different time frames where they've seen those balances drop very quickly. So the insurance companies have that one kind of unique ability to guarantee that you'll always have a check in the mailbox, and a lot of people tend to gravitate to that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I do programs for Social Security education, which a couple of these laws keep changing, and we want to keep our clients and the general public informed. And I ask that question, how many people in the room out of, let's say, a 40 or 50 person room have a guaranteed government pension? And generally now it's less than 20%. I remember when I asked that question 20 years ago, it was 60 or 70%, not only a government pension, but some other type of pension, where, you know, at the end of their 30, 40-year work career, they got the gold watch, and typically two-thirds of the income that they made their entire life, guaranteed for life. That's rare now in our times. So we have to be able to create our own pension by building up that 401k balance while we're working. And yes, they are playing, you know, to the need of, hey, if you want to create your own pension, there's products that are designed to do that now. And at least with some part of your retirement money,
right,
it makes a lot of sense for people who whose main concern is, I want to make sure I don't run out of money before I run out of life. And I'm typically in my meetings, Bill, I'd say about 4 out of 5 baby boomers that are thinking about retirement. When I ask that question, what's most important, income, lump sum, or leaving it to the heirs? It's income 4 out of 5 times.
Right, right, absolutely. And then that's the big concern. Again, back to that, replace that pension, make sure I have a check in the mailbox, because if I know I have income coming in, I can manage around that. It's that uncertainty. You take away that certainty of that. And of course, even if you have anybody who's on a fixed income knows that it's not the fixed income and managing that, that part's pretty easy. It's what happens if there's an emergency, an opportunity, the water heater blows up, the roof needs repair, all those things that can happen. So it's important to have something set aside, of course, so that you can tap into and maintain your level of income and not worry about that, not blow up your plan. So it's all very interesting. And then outside of that, you mentioned there are other investments that you can get in the range of 4 to 6%, somewhere around there. What types of investments are you looking at for people now that you, let's say you weren't looking at, that weren't on the radar screen, let's say 10, 15 years ago?
Well, we tend to put a percentage of our clients' monies in alternative investments, which are private investments that don't correlate with the stock market, with the public market. So there's private. So for instance, to give you an analogy to, without getting into great detail, my mother, 86 years old, God bless her, and still going strong, she has a couple, 2 or 3 mortgages with my nephews and nieces. So it's a private investment. She's getting a point or two higher than what the banks will pay her to avoid all the administrative costs and whatnot. And, you know, she's getting that income every month. It's a good investment on both sides. So that's one thing, one strategy, Bill, that has materialized today that wasn't so popular 10 or 15 years ago. And we could get 6, 7, 8% on, you know, CDs and government bonds at certain times, you know. So sometimes you have to look off the radar a little bit and say, how can we generate yield? How can we open up the universe wider and bring out strategies that, let's just say, the institutional investors use, the big boys that invest in these pension plans and whatnot, what are they using? And if you're able to do that and you have the licenses to do that, that's a good part of the puzzle that can add to the guaranteed investments that you spoke of. And also your traditional corporate bonds and your preferreds. And, you know, there's some good real estate out there that is designed to generate income the more traditional way. So it always comes down to a good balance, knowing your priorities are and having the proper balance.
I guess the point of this discussion is that the pie chart that people used to go to would – traditionally in the past would be something like 60% bond oriented and 40% stock oriented or some combination like that. You wouldn't see all these extra pieces of pie coming in to the mix. So the pie chart of today has more different types of asset classes and pieces. And it's important to work with someone who's up to date on that and can pull out some different things and say, hey, let's take a small percentage of it and develop some income with it's a little different than you might be used to, but certainly fits in and develops income because you're not going to get it all like you used to in that traditional pie chart. It's just not coming home the way it used to in that traditional asset allocation. So, Pat, great advice and great. What do you think? You say you talk about Social Security. Let's just spend a minute or two on that. What do you see as the what's the current state of Social Security? Because I remember years ago, we were talking about, you know, Social Security faced some severe problems in the 2020s, and Medicare was in big problems, you know, kind of right about now, I think we were looking at back then. And some of those have been resolved a little bit. But what do you see as the current state of Social Security?
Well, it's guaranteed 100% of benefits based on the money we have in there now until 2033. After that, if they don't tweak the system and make some changes to put more money into the system and adjust it a little bit, 77% of benefits are guaranteed to be paid out after that. The newest twist that just happened this week that President Obama is proposing is that they take away the file and suspend, so you can't collect spousal benefits on your spouse while his or her benefit is increasing by the 8%. So that's an interesting wrinkle that just came out this week that people need to be educated on. But that's, you know, that's a subject for a different time. But overall, the state of Social Security is probably a little more stable than a lot of the media hype like to tell us, being that it's guaranteed for the next 18 years and 77% guaranteed after that. And I'm sure they'll tweak the system like some suggestions like this to guarantee it for the long haul, because it's our sacred cow in America, let's face it. But you have to keep up with it because these proposals are being discussed every day, and we have to vote on them and see which ones make sense.
Absolutely, something that needs to be. And Social Security can be very complicated. I think a lot of people are realizing that there's a lot to know about Social Security, and there's some great resources for that. But working with someone who understands it is a great benefit. Pat, how do our listeners best get in touch with you?
My website is harvestfg.com, and my phone number is 540-213-2126.
Okay. Give us that phone number one more time.
540-213-2126.
Pat, great information. It was a real pleasure talking with you, and thanks for getting us up to date on some of these important topics. I look forward to the next time we speak, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and I look forward to it as well.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.